Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I thank God for the chance and the opportunity to be before you. And we're looking at the book of Acts, and we started looking at the sending forth of Barnabas and Saul. And this is something that the Holy Spirit did. It was a sending forth by the Spirit of God. And by this time, we had seen that there was a ministry that was cut out for Barnabas and Saul. They were already men full of faith. They were full of the Spirit. They were prophets. They taught the church. They were available to be sent. Remember, Saul was a former Pharisee, a persecutor of the church. But he had been converted, and immediately he had been preaching and defending Christ and proving to men and to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. And he is the Christ according to the scriptures. But yet the people were not ready to receive that. And that is what the Spirit of Christ told Paul, Saul, by this time, that the people here will not receive your word, arise and leave. And that's why he had to leave Jerusalem. And as he was hastened by the brethren, he went all the way to Tarsus. And eventually Barnabas and the church hears that in Antioch, there are some believers who have preached to Hellenists, to the Greeks, and they have believed the faith, and eventually they send Barnabas to go and encourage the church. Barnabas looks for Saul in Tarsus, brings him to Antioch, and Antioch becomes a place where believers are first called Christians because they are followers of Christ. Now, as they are here in this time, then the church sends them back to Jerusalem to provide relief to the church in Jerusalem, because the prophet Agabus had already prophesied that there's going to be a famine, and this is a famine that affects the whole period. But then now they come back, they have finished that mission, they have been sent, they have been serving, they have been preaching, and the Bible tells us that in the church of Antioch, there are many Christians, or rather there were many prophets and teachers, and it gives us the names of them. That there was Barnabas, there was Simeon, who was called Niger, there was Lucius of Cyrene, there was Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." The Bible tells us they are ministering to the Lord. They are worshiping the Lord with fasting, with prayer, and they are spending time in prayer. And as they did that, then the Bible says that the Spirit said to me, spoke to them. The Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." The Bible says, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So they did not just stop there when the Holy Spirit spoke, but they continued to fast, and they had finished their fasted and they prayed. The Bible says they laid hands on them and they sent them away. Now, verse 4 is what tells us that it is clear that this was the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit," and we're in Acts chapter 13, verse 4, says, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant," and remember this is John Mark. Verse 6, "Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for his name is translated, withstood them, and seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now I want us to see the encounter of Saul and Barnabas and this sorcerer who is called Bar-Jesus. You know, it's the name Jesus at this point definitely tells us that it was a common name. It was similar to Joshua. And this is the name that is common in this time and is applied to most people. So he was called Bar-Jesus, meaning son of Jesus, but he was not really the son of Jesus. He was the son of the devil. And one of the things that you'll understand that every territory has its occupants. And this is one of the mysteries about when you go to a new place, when you go to a territory, when you want to take a territory for Jesus, you will find that there are counterfeits that the enemy has placed there that do his bidding. Just like the same way Goliath was a champion from Gath, the Bible tells us that the Philistines came with their champion and they asked the Israelites, find one man who can fight with us and we will fight together, and whoever wins, then you, the rest of you, will be my slaves. Now, in the same way that the enemy raises champions, also God raises champions to contend with the forces of darkness. Just like the same way the enemy raises champions in music, in demonic altars, in things of the world, likewise also God raises champions in the things of God, in ministry, in worship, to raise a different sound. And when these two champions come, there is a contention and there is a fight, because it is a fight of altars. Now, when we see this fight of altars, you can see that Elymas, the sorcerer, had attached himself to the proconsul. He had attached himself to the leader, to the authority. And one of the things that you will realize is that most leaders on the earth, anyone, most leaders in business, in political power, in communities, either all of them usually have a spiritual backing. Majority of them have spiritual backing from the devil. And what the devil does is that he attaches to them their priests, their demonic priests, their sorcerers, whose job is to ensure that the agenda of darkness is promoted. Sorcerers in high places ensure that the demonic agenda is propagated. And that is why you see demonic agendas that are propagated in education. You find schools are teaching things that children should not know. You find demonic agenda in the media. You find that every movie that is being produced has certain connotations that are linked to the agenda. Why? Because the enemy has raised for themselves champions, and who they promote either through making them idols, and that is why they call them idols, so that men can worship them. But when they worship them, they worship the spirit that is backing them. They worship, remember, think of the Antichrist. The Bible says that the beast gave the spirit, gave his power to the false prophet, and people worship the false prophet, and they worship the beast because he is the one that had given the false prophet the authority. So when people will worship idols, men who are representing a false kingdom, then basically what that happens is that we are worshiping the spirit and the altar that they serve. So there are men who are in certain places who are not just idols, but they are actually priests. They are actually conduits. They are actually gateways to demonic realms that if we are not careful, then we can find ourselves rejoicing with them, enjoying them, yet knowing that by doing that, we are celebrating the altar in which they serve because they are priests. We are partakers. We are fellowshipping with them. But God warns us that we cannot be partakers of the same altars. We cannot share in the Lord's communion, in the Lord's table, and again as well share in the table of idols. This is a strong warning that there is no union between light and darkness. That God is warning us that how can we be partakers? Don't you know that the sacrifices that are offered at the altar of demons, at the altar of false religions, those sacrifices are offered to demons? And how can we be partakers of the same altars, of the demonic tables, and that yes, at the same time, we are also partakers of the Lord's table? Light and darkness can have no fellowship. Now, when we look at this communication of elements, when Paul comes to preach to the proconsul, and the Bible tells us that the proconsul was an intelligent man. He wanted to hear about this faith. He is a man who I can think was a seeker of knowledge, a seeker of wisdom, a seeker of truth. Remember, we speak of two kinds of people who hear the gospel. There are those who are seeking miracles. There are those who are seeking power. There are those who want to see demonstrations of miracles and signs. But then there are also those who are seeking wisdom. And that is why Christ has been made to us the power and the wisdom of God. The Christ is not just the power of God, but he's also the wisdom. Paul says, when I spoke to you, I did not come with words of wisdom, but I came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith may not rest on men's words, but on the power of God. But he also goes on to say, but however, we speak a word of wisdom among the wise, among the mature, among those who have been weaned from the bread, weaned from the milk, in that there is meat that is available to those strong meat and bones is available to those who by exercise of their senses, they have learned to discern good from evil. I tell you, the day you start to discern good from evil, the day you start to differentiate just playing around with sin and living in righteousness is when you now can be qualified to now be taught doctrine. Because the scriptures tell us that whom will he teach doctrine? It is him who has been weaned from the milk. And he says, a little here, a little there, and with stammering of lips shall I speak to this people. So God desires to teach us line by line, precept by precept, but this only happens when we have distinguished ourselves to a life of obedience. And not only are we now not living unto righteousness, yes, we are made righteous, but now we are living in the righteousness that we have been made. And by when we're doing that, then now the Holy Spirit comes to teachers. He becomes our teacher. He no longer just becomes the one that makes us alive, but now he takes on the place of a teacher. And sadly, we have many Christians who have not experienced the Holy Spirit as a teacher, the Holy Spirit as a guide into all truth, and the Holy Spirit as Lord, the Bible tells us. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit. He is that Spirit that is available to guide us. So now we see Saul and Barnabas, they encounter this sorcerer. And the sorcerer, and as I say, territories have their champions, they have their occupants. And you cannot take territory without a fight. There is necessary that one, you are equipped to fight. You are equipped, you are sent. The reason why people go mad when they go to fight wizards at times is because they are not yet sent, number one, and they are also too, they are not yet equipped to that level of battle. Now, when you are equipped to that level of battle, you have waited on God. You have been sent by God. You are also empowered by God. So, Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. But you see, Moses had already been sent by God. So, when Moses threw down his stick and it turned into a snake, the magicians who were named Jannes and Jambres, they threw also their sticks and they also turned into snakes. But the Bible tells us that the snake of Moses swallowed the snakes of the Egyptians. So, this is telling us that also the devil has his wisdom. He has his powers, he has his knowledge, and that is why men would not have gone to them if there was not something supernatural that the devil could give them. And I believe that there was something supernatural that this man had attached himself to the proconsul, and the proconsul will depend on this demonic wisdom so that he can govern. However, when Barnabas and Saul come and they declare the word of God to him, he tries to divert them. Why? Because light and darkness cannot meet. He was losing his place. He was losing his customer. He was losing those who have been, he has been taking advantage of by the place where he was controlling territory. Yet there is a new person that has been sent by God to take over the territory. Our territories continue to stay in darkness until men arise, men consecrate themselves, men are ready to be used by God, and men have tarried. Jesus said, tarry, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you are enclosed, until you are endowed with power from on high. The reason why believers are not powerful is because they have not spent time in the tarrying. They have not spent time to know Jesus. They have not spent time in prayer, in fasting, in hearing the voice of God, in encountering him. Because I tell you, the Holy Spirit is not theory. He is not theory. He is a reality that you will have to experience him. And that tangible expression, that substance that you will experience, then you can explain him. Then you can teach him. It's just like someone telling you about malaria who has been taught what malaria is, but the day you have experienced the malaria sickness is when you can tell someone, I know what it means to have a fever. I know what it means to have a headache. I know what it means to be nausea, to feel vomiting. Why? Because you have the experience. Now, the Holy Spirit has to go beyond just theory, not just saying, oh, yes, I know he's the third person of the Trinity, but you need to have a tangible experience of him that you can know without a shadow of doubt that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, I know many believers are celebrating Pentecost today. And indeed, it is a time of outpouring. It is a time of outpouring. He says, if anyone is hungry, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. You have drunk before, but you can be filled again. You can live in perpetual infilling of the Holy Spirit until you are full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He came from the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. And when he was full, it is just a matter of discharging. And he goes back in the night and he prays again and he is refilled. He comes in the morning, he is full of the Holy Spirit. And when he goes out, virtue leaves him. He has to go for a refill. I pray that we constantly stay in that cycle of being full of the Holy Spirit. The proconsul was almost blinded by the sorcerer. But you see, Barnabas and Saul, as they taught the man, they realize that, no, this man cannot be a hindrance. Elymas, you cannot be a hindrance to the gospel. And the Bible tells us that Saul looked intently at him and he said, oh, you, a son of the devil. Oh, you, a son of the devil, you seek to pervert the ways of righteousness. You're an enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? The works of darkness are crooked. They are not straight. They are full of unrighteousness. He says, oh, you full of all deceit, deception, and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not stop perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And he says, and now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. I pray and I declare that those that pervert the work of God will experience a blindness for a time. You see, the time there is given for them to repent. Why? Because there is a different manner of spirit that we are given in the new covenant, in the new creation, that we are called to save men. We are called to save men, even those sorcerers, they can turn to the gospel. They can turn to the gospel. Yes, there are those who will reject, but there are still some who, of those that are there, they just don't know the light. But there was a need to demonstrate the power. The reason for the demonstration of the power was so that this one man, this intelligent man, this proconsul, this man of authority, remember Paul in his message, what was he told? He was told that you shall send my message to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. Now, he is already starting to speak to kings. He's speaking to those in authority, and he's speaking to the proconsul. And because he is in his element, he is in his place of assignment, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, they follow him. When he says that you shall trample over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, we are given divine mandate to overcome every power of darkness. The devil is under our feet. He was defeated. He was defeated. He was defeated. Indeed, the Bible says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Great was that fall. Not that he is falling. He fell. He has fallen. He is defeated. The Bible says, now indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind and not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking for someone to lead him by the hand. I tell you, when works of darkness want to find you, they cannot, because the Lord blinds them. Light blinds people. Oh, those in darkness are blinded. They cannot see. They cannot find you. When they look for you in those mirrors, they cannot find you. Why? Because you are blinded to them. They are blinded to you. The Bible says, when this sorcerer was made blind, then the proconsul believed. He believed when he saw what had been done. I pray that God will give us tangible proofs that men can see that the word that we speak is real. If eyes can be closed, then two eyes can be open. If ears can be closed, then two ears can be open. If hearts can be closed, then indeed hearts can be open. And I thank you for your people, my Father, my God, that have heard the word today, that have believed, that have listened, that are obeying, that are trusting in you for an outpouring that comes from on high, oh God. I pray for the manifestation of the word, that men shall believe when they shall see, when they shall hear the teaching of the Christ, the preaching of Christ. And indeed, may men, may your servants enter into the manifestation. I thank you for your teaching, O God. Pray for your word. I pray for truth. I pray for it to take heart. where we are corrected, may we receive correction. Forgive us where we have failed. Cleanse our hearts. Purify us, my Father, my God. Give your people the answers that they seek forth. May your angels begin to work, O God, bringing forth healing, healing in homes, healing in marriages, healing in churches, O God. May there be such a fresh outpouring of the Spirit on your people that we shall know you are God and there's no one else like you, God. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom and blessed.